Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Shady is back. In fact, he is back again. LeSean McCoy at the breakfast table. Welcome to Good Morning Football. We're in New York. It is Monday, March 7th. Who else is back but Kyle Brandt?
Hello, everybody.
Long time no see.
Long time no see to you. Definitely to you.
That's right.
And to you. Peace, Dregs. You conquered Indianapolis.
Did it.
Yeah.
I did it.
How you feeling?
Fresh as a daisy.
No, yeah. You don't. You did a great job, though. I watched you.
Thank you.
You did a great job. I will say that.
Kyle, who ran a faster 40? The kids from Baylor or you to the churro line?
At hey!
Oh, I love a churro.
I skipped the line, Peter. Listen, I'm reading Peter King's .com this morning. Okay. And not only does he have a nugget about Peter going out to lunch with Rams head honcho Kevin Demoff,
okay,
he has what they ate. And Peter was eating nachos in Indianapolis, right, of all places. Are you
nacho
kidding me?
Nacho capital of the world.
What percentage of that platter did you hoover? 80?
Yeah. Demoff was
great job, Peter.
That's it. I didn't see this. Is this morning?
This morning, he's in there eating nachos.
Shout out Peter King. Shout out to
Peter
McCoy.
Kept it real, huh?
Yeah.
Shout out to NFL Network Media for crushing it in Indianapolis at the combine. We've got all the fallout, the headlines, free agency, franchise tag deadline is tomorrow. It's time for Loop Lock.
Loop Lock.
Let's do it. All right, the on-field drills for the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine presented by Verizon. Yeah, they wrapped up yesterday. You want to talk about him, LeSean? Let's do it. The top prospects from all around the country showed off skills, strength, speed for all 32 and more. Let's hear from Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah. Gentlemen, set the table with your final thoughts.
And before we turn the lights out in the booth, your impressions of the 2022 Scouting Combine.
First of all, it was a blast watching these guys compete and work out. And really, depth is the word that came to me when you look at this entire draft class. And a couple examples of the positions. When you start at the wide receiver position, we saw the fastest wide receiver group that we've seen. Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, who is an outstanding route runner. I love his play strength, his ability to go up and make plays up in the air. The question was, okay, well, how truly fast is he? Well, he runs in the high 4.3s. So that was indicative of kind of how the week was going to go. You see how smooth he is, running routes, tracking the ball, making plays down the field. Did it throughout his time at Ohio State. I think he's got a chance to be a top 10 pick. Now, another position where there was tremendous depth, that was that defensive line. We hyped it up as really the strength of this draft class, and big Jordan Davis got us rolling, literally, with that 4.7, high 4.7 40 at 341 pounds, and then backed it up with a really solid field workout. So the talk of, you know, is he a top 20 pick, transition to is he potentially a top 10 pick, and one of 8, 9, 10 defensive linemen, who knows how many we see of those guys go in the first round, incredibly deep group. And then today we got a chance to see Sauce Gardner, who's my top cornerback in this entire draft class out of University of Cincinnati. He came in tall, long, well-dressed, and iced out with the chain, and went out there and got the low 4.4 that he was after in the 40. You see the size, the length, how fluid and how loose he is, an outstanding field workout, really cemented his status as a number one corner, but was backed up by another incredibly fast group of corners. So the talent at the top is exciting, Rich, but really the story of this draft is the overall depth at those key positions.
Yeah, and then you didn't even really hit the defensive end position, which was terrific, as well as the linebackers that we saw
a bunch of 4.4 linebackers running around out here.
Right?
So this is a great draft. If you have multiple picks, congratulations to your Jets. They're one of those teams.
Yeah.
You can address a lot of needs in this draft.
Okay. And then the draft, as we all know, is coming up at the very end of April. And then free agency is right around the corner. The hits just keep coming fast and furious. Great job.
Great work, buddy.
Great job. See you in Vegas, if not before. Yep. Signing off from the Combine for DJ, I'm Rich Eisen. See you soon.
Excellent work, gentlemen. I didn't hear anything you said, however, after Jordan Davis at 341 pounds running that 4.7, 8.40, doing drills at Iowa, Buck 05.
That's scary.
Could not do with the speed and with the skill and athleticism he did. That was incredible. He stole the show. Who do you think won the combine?
There's a lot of big guys that ran fast, a lot of tall guys that ran fast, but the most popular guy, right, that had the best performance to me. Now, I could be biased, but this guy, he played the same college as probably the best player in the NFL, Aaron Donald. He's an older rookie, right? Had a great year. His name is Kenny Shane Pickett. Okay. I'll tell you what, it's about 6'3", 200 pounds, about like 217, fast, athletic, big arm. He's tough. He went to Pittsburgh, so that tells you a lot about him, right? He's played in the cold. I think that if you put him around a team where he has some good guys on the outside that can run, that's fast, some talent around him, some good offensive linemen. He's a tough kid, so he might get touched a little bit, get sacked a couple times. You know, rookies have to go and learn, but he'll be fine. I think a lot of rookies that are they're young and they leave after their third year, right? They may redshirt their freshman year and they leave their sophomore year. But a guy like that, I think is solid because he's a senior. He's been there. He's old enough and he's smart. So the same thing you see in Joe Burrow, I think Kenny can do the same thing.
Kyle, you missed Hand-size-a-palooza last week. Thoughts on Pickett?
I think he just sits down at the barber and he's like, just give me the Justin Herbert. Like, I thought it was him when you showed him
good
for a second.
Good luck to hair, right?
But what's also fascinating is that there's also some murky quarterback situations in Pittsburgh at the professional level. So we don't know, right?
There you go. There you go.
The case point, the small, if he entered the league right now, he would have the smallest hands of any quarterback in the entire NFL. Does that concern you as a player taking handoffs from that guy?
I don't think so. I mean, this guy's been playing like that. He's been playing with small hands, right? He had a very productive year. He had like, what, 40-some touchdowns? Yeah. I mean, the guy plays well. He plays in the cold. When I think of small hands, I think when it gets cold, right? Everybody talks about that. Mm-hmm. I remember when we had Rex Ryan, and we wanted to, I told him, let's go get Michael Vick. And he's like, only thing about Mike is he had small hands in the cold. I'm like, what does that mean? Why does that matter? I think this guy is productive. You put him in a team where some guys around him, some talented guys, he'll make some plays.
You know we're great with Shady on when they were hearing static. I'm like, what is that? And it's, his microphone rubbing against a diamond necklace.
That's I heard that too. Oh, you're right. We're all in this rattling.
Different than my puka shells that are usually around my neck. Shady, it's great having you. Great stuff. Love it. I'm going to go with Trayvon Walker.
That's a good pick.
Who is the edge rusher out of Georgia. 6'5", 270 pounds. Loaded edge rushing class. This guy showed up and might have taken the crown. Now, Aiden Hutchinson is likely going to go first, but now it's who's after him. And Walker, you talk about a 35.5 length arm. It's longer than Trent Williams, Joe Thomas, and Lane Johnson. A 40-yard dash that's faster than Alvin Kamara and Davante Adams. A 35.5 inch vertical. And a broad jump that was longer than Earl Thomas's, Jarvis Landry's. He was the athletic freak on Saturday. And guess what? At Georgia, the numbers, of course, weren't what everyone wants. He didn't have 100 sacks at Georgia. And the reason why is because they have seven other guys that they rotate and play. But I think he might have solidified himself as not only a top 10 pick, potentially a top 5 pick, and maybe the second edge rusher, if not the first, if he can catapult Aiden Hutchinson, depending on what you're looking for. Here's a quick look of my five guys that really helped themselves in the first round. These are all first rounders. Walker, Jermaine Johnson II, which is the craziest stat of all, transferred from Georgia. So he was one of the Georgia guys. I think he's a top 10 pick. Charles Cross, he pass protected on 1,200 pass plays in Mike Leach's air raid offense.
How many sacks?
Didn't give up any sacks. He was that guy.
Wow.
Trevor Penning, the angriest man you'll ever meet from Northern Iowa. I think he became a top 10 pick. And then Garrett Wilson, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favorite right there.
He's great.
Yeah. Top 10, but that's only if that's only if they're drafting a wide receiver in the top 10 this year. But I think he really solidified himself as the number one guy coming out of the combine.
I like guys named Walker from Georgia. Peter, you don't go far enough in hyping it. Give me, here's the winner. Give me the pick. Here's the winner of the 2022 NFL. Yeah!
Meredith Oga.
Oga! Take this any way you want it. If you sort of loosely watch the combine, if you didn't watch the combine, it was dominated by Georgia. Daniel Jeremiah said it right. They won a national championship and they just won a combine championship. Jordan Davis runs a 4.78. Then you have everybody else, Devontae Wyatt. They had eight players run under a 4.6, including a punter, Jake Camarda. And they also, that was without N'Kobe Dean, who won the Butkus Award at Georgia and did not run. Wow. So they got guys who transferred, they got guys who won major awards, did not run, they got punters. I don't know how they ever lost that game to Alabama, let alone giving up 41 points, but it's one of the fastest defenses we've ever seen. I think sometimes over the last 10 years, especially during the Saban era, if you sort of loosely watch the draft, you just show up and you're like, just give me one of those Alabama guys. I don't really care who it is. I want someone who played.
That's true.
This year's like, just give me one of those Georgia guys. I want some Georgia defense on my NFC East team, on my AFC South team this year. We've seen Alabama come and just absolutely take over the combine. You don't see a lot of other programs do it in the Saban Saban era. Georgia did it. Combine championship. Well, and there's a lot of people saying, oh, 40 time, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. We are seeing a 340-pound man run 4.7. What is the ceiling of athletic evolution? Are we going to have guys 350 running 4.4s one day? I think we are.
When you were seeing these combine scores clock in, what did you think?
I'm surprised. I haven't seen anything like that. Seeing these guys that big and that fast.
Crazy.
When I watched him play, I never thought he was that fast. I mean, because he's so big. Yeah. I knew he was dominant. I knew he was strong. But to see him run like that.
The knock is that he can't pass rush. That he's just a big.
He can't pass block.
Pass rush.
Pass rush. Right.
He's a big fat guy in the middle. And then you know that. And you're like, no, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's fast. And you put him with some edge guys, right? And just have him go up the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I want a big fat guy in the middle.
Okay, come on. It takes two guys to get them fat guys in the middle.
I know.
All right, let's talk Malik Willis quickly. Because I don't know. I mean, he won over everybody on and off the field.
Good.
The
he
Liberty quarterback crushed it. Interviews, I'm reading, Shrags, went incredibly well. He crushed the Wonderlic, which you love and care about, Kyle. He got a 32 on the Wonderlic. Was awesome. He won over Michael Robinson, who was here all last week. He got the film breakdown, the libero treatment from him. And he had that viral video come out of him helping a homeless person, that nobody was watching. It showed everyone the type of quality of a human he is and how all of us should be. So he checked every box on the field, off the field. He did his thing. There are a lot of questions about the quarterbacks coming into this combine, Peter Schrager, and it looks like some of them are, what did you call it, arrows up?
Arrows up.
Arrows up.
I think the two you picked, Pickett and Willis, really separated themselves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ding,
week.
Ding, ding.
I think Willis's deep throws were immaculate, and it's one of those deals where it's like, here's this amazing kid, this awesome arm. Does a team be able to put it all together? Is he a year one starter? I don't know, but I think he's a first-round pick.
A lot of questions. He answered them strongly at the combine. Okay. Before we get too deep into the offseason and franchise tag and Aaron Rodgers and where he's going, we thought we would give out some report cards talking about how teams performed. We are now at the NFC South portion of the program, Shrakes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I will give them an A in a category last year, and I think they aced chemistry. Remember, they brought back those 22 starters. We thought they were going to steamroll right to the NFC Championship. They didn't, but guess what? Brady still led the league in just about every offensive category, and what he, Gronk, and Evans did this year was awesome. I do think that they had something special going, and it was like when they needed to every single time, it was Gronk, it was Evans. Godwin goes down with the injury and they didn't miss a beat. The numbers that Brady put up this year are lost in a season that they didn't go to the Super Bowl and Rodgers won the MVP, but at 44 years old, he was the best statistical leader in every category imaginable. The vibe I got down there in Indy, pretty pleased is their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 option. Comeback Brady at quarterback. And then Arians comes out and it's a little loosey-goosey and he said some things and it's like, I could almost imagine the rest of the Tampa folks. Bruce, just not now.
Everybody said, we got plenty of money for Tom, whenever he wants.
Easy, Bruce.
I know he's one of many guys who likes to be courted or something. I'm like, no, Bruce, just don't. Bruce, just let them do what they're doing. So the hope is that Brady returns because last year I thought.
Come back, Tommy, come back, baby.
That's their plan.
For me, I'm looking at Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Right? They definitely kept pounding that algebra books. You know, something about algebra, like once you kind of get it, find the equation, especially for that offense, they were solid and they were very lethal.
Yeah.
You got C-Mac, everything was going so well before C-Mac got hurt. Things got bad. But if you look at the offense, right, when he was there, they were clicking. He's a little bit more like athletic than I am. I didn't do punt returns, kick returns.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the sauce, the jump left, jump right.
Yeah.
He's a heck of a player. He's tough. He's good. He has to stay on the field. He's been hurt a little bit. But as far as the most talented running back in the league, it's either him or Saquon. This is for talent, but I would give the C-Mac.
All right, I'm going to talk about the Saints. There's certain school projects you do as a kid that just stick with you for life. I remember when I was about fifth grade, I was in a natural science class, and you take a plant, and they wanted to see if it could live despite difficult circumstances. So you do like a week where you hung it upside down and see if it could still grow. And then a week where you would like give it Coke instead of water, and a week in the dark, and whatever you could deem, like, wow, the fern could still live.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the Saints. The Saints got an A in botany. All that they went through, you could not kill this fern. We had ones where you put it in the dark and you would blast heavy metal at it for a week to see if that affected its growth. They got everything blasted at them this week. Every single thing. Nobody went through more in terms of personnel than the Saints. They had 58 starters on the team. There's only 22 allowed on the field. I mean, think about what the Texans and the Jets and the Lions, those are some rough teams. That team at the top went 9-8. They were above 500. And My God, we had the Trevor Siemian experience for a while. Yes. Due respect to Siemian. Jameis was allegedly their quarterback. I barely remember it.
Early.
And then we remember a game that none of us had anything positive to say about, the Ian Book experiment. The next day after a Thursday night game, we came in and were like, what was that?
That was tough.
And they went through it. Ian Book was not even close to being ready, let alone to operate a Sean Payton offense. It was a disaster. Again, 9-8. This is above 500 team after all of that stuff, which then continued into the offseason with Peyton's decision and with Kamara's issues, and it just still keeps going. I could not respect it. You could not kill this plant no matter what you did to it, and I respect it. A, in botany.
Atlanta Falcons. Okay. We had this thing at my school called Star Lab. It was like a big dome, like tent, and you took off your shoes and you crawled in, and it was pitch black, and all the constellations showed
up. Heard of that.
Yeah, except like the kids were like making out or like giving, you know, like lots of things were going on in there. It was very, very weird. However, the Falcons get an A and excelled in astronomy. That's where that came full circle, because they were missing some stars. They didn't have Calvin Ridley. Julio gets
dished
and sent to a different team, but they found stars elsewhere. Cordarrelle Patterson was a revelation for most of the season. Incredible. Year 9 with his fifth team, and he goes off. 1,100 total yards, 11 touchdowns. It was amazing. Arthur Smith untapped something in him that we hadn't seen before, and it was incredible. Kyle Pitts, first rookie tight end to put up 1,000 yards since Mike Ditka in 1961.
Incredible.
Russell Gage, another pending free agent, guys. 770 yards despite missing 3 games this season, so that's super impressive. Number 3 wide receiver a year earlier, and he was at the tops of that receiving core and was really good. Arthur Smith, guys, took that job. I really do thinking he's going to design an offense around Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Triggs. It did not work out, that Ridley part especially. And so having this team in playoff contention late in the season is really impressive.
They were right until the end. And it's like Pitts. We had so much hype for Pitts. And at the end of the season, you're like, I don't remember anything.
He's
got 1,000 yards.
It's like, Pitts balling.
He was
balling.
The quietest 1,000-yard season we've ever seen.
He's scratching the surface.
Yep. And it's just scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. This guy was still just figuring it out. So I saw Arthur and I saw Terry Fontenot yesterday walking around at the combine. Talked to them for a while. They're really excited about their team. And it looks like that guy's going to be playing quarterback again. So
yeah.
I don't know.
You're making so much money.
So
you
much
showed
money.
That full screen. It's 40 plus, right?
Yes.
Right. Oh, man. They love him.
What is going on with Aaron Rodgers? We got to you next. What a beautiful day in New York. This is Good Morning Football with Sean McCoy. It's here all week long, March 7th. My name's Kay Adams. Kyle Brandt has returned. Peter Schrager is here. Oh, I should say, a 2-time, a Super Bowl, a thank champion, LeSean McCoy.
You feel so good. Thank you.
Great to see you.
We have lots to talk about. We've got the combine to unpack, of course, everything that went there, the future stars doing their thing on the biggest stage in front of 32 teams, their front offices and coaches, but right now it's time for Lee Block.
Lee Block.
Let's do this, guys. We have to talk Aaron Rodgers. NFL honors. He won his 4th MVP. He told Taylor Bisciotti backstage after winning, after addressing everybody, his decision on his future would come, quote, pretty quick. Well, that was over 3 weeks ago and counting, and still nada, zilch, nothing. Mike Garafolo over the weekend said that the Packers are not engaging in trade talks for their quarterback, duh, unless and until he says he does not want to return to Green Bay. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport said Rodgers' decision will presumably come before the tag deadline. Wow, that's tomorrow. That's Tuesday. But he is, quote, truly torn on where he wants to play in 2022. So what do we think of Aaron Rodgers still being truly torn on where he wants to play? Kyle, you came back from your, I was in Mexico, you were in Florida, you were somewhere, you came back, decision has not been made. Combine, you think some of that would be in the air?
No.
What's up?
I was boots on the ground in the combine. I had a chance to speak directly with Matt LaFleur for a while and a lot of the different Packers coaches, but then also speak with Nathaniel Hackett, who's the Broncos coach, and that's where he's rumored to potentially be going. So let's go through it. I think from the Packers standpoint, they obviously want Rodgers back. The biggest gesture they made was bringing in 68-year-old retired quarterback coach Tom Clements, who is Rodgers' quarterback guru for nearly 15 years, stepped away from the game, and then they brought him back out of retirement. That was a gesture to Rodgers saying, we're doing everything we possibly can to bring you back. Now, yesterday, out in Santa Barbara, California, David Bakhtiari got married. Aaron Rodgers officiated the wedding. Matt LaFleur was a guest at the wedding. So you have to think there was some
type of talk. There you go.
And you'd like to think that gives the Packers the edge. And LaFleur can talk to Rodgers as much as he wants because he's under contract and he is his quarterback. And I'd like to think that what the approach is Aaron, we want you back so badly. Please, 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 please come back. But also, what else can we do to support you to not only make you happy, but also get us past a divisional round this year? Get us past, how do we bring a Super Bowl back to Green Bay? Bakhtiari has played one game in the last two seasons. The hope is he's going to be healthy. We heard from Ian yesterday that Jair Alexander is negotiating a long-term contract. Davante Adams, you guys are going to discuss another issue they have to address. That's from the Packers side. What can the Broncos do? Broncos could do nothing. It's hampering to even reach out to Rodgers directly and talk about his future. So I spoke to Hackett and he's like, no joke, this is not me trying to do the media thing. Like, if you know Aaron Rodgers, you know that to even reach out to him and try to play that game would turn him off. The ultimate thing is to give Rodgers his space. Now, Rodgers took what he called a 12-day cleanse from everything after the season. I asked about what that meant.
Go on.
No cell phone, no contact, no nothing. Then he came to honors and he spoke to LaFleur and spoke glowingly about LaFleur and gave credit to Goody and Mark Murphy and Russ Ball and all those guys. But here we are more than 3 weeks later and Ian's report was that he's still torn, which I think is fair to say because if he wasn't, an announcement would have been made. I'm a Packer. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. I think if anyone's trying to peg Aaron Rodgers to a timeline, yes, Tuesday is the goal of what we've heard, but if this thing drags on to free agency.
It probably will.
Draft,
it probably will.
Training camp. That would not be something.
Year two in a row?
Right.
Rodgers.
I see it happening.
Rodgers is doing it, and he's doing it his way. And these coaches revere him so much.
I'm scared of him.
That they are willing to let him do it, whatever it takes, as long as he's under center week one.
Is that good?
And I could tell, like, you can see that he loves his teammates, though. Especially Adams. Like, we've seen the videos. I love you, bro. I love you. You know, so I can tell that he's probably torn up. Like, should I stay? Should I go? So I do believe that. But the other part is, like, everybody's walking on eggshell. You know, the coach, they want them. Mm-hmm. The owners want them. The GM want them. They don't know what to say. Don't call them. I need 12 days, right? Hey, don't call me. Don't text me. Don't email me. It's like, what do we do?
Right.
And so it's like everybody's on eggshells. And you know you need a player like that to win. The only thing, the issue that I really see with this is not only this one, he's only one player. Now, he's a very important player. He's the quarterback. But you have a big-time corner you have to pay, right? Alexander.
Yeah.
You talk about Adams. You got to get paid. And then that's just the offense. You go to the defense. It's two sides of football, right? There's so many players on defense that got to get paid. So does Roger think it only can last for so long before you try to make other steps to fulfilling your roster? You know, and I talked to during the Super Bowl. I talked to Matt LaFleur. They want him. Just matter of, like, when we going to get him. And Aaron knows that. Mm-hmm. And the best thing that happened to Aaron Rodgers is when they let Jordan Love play. That's leverage.
It was the best.
Like, so, hey, oh, you don't want me? Well, go out there with Jordan.
That was his most important game of the season, I think, the Chiefs game that he didn't play in.
Come on, man.
Because Love looked not ready.
Everybody's seen it.
He officiated the wedding?
Yeah.
He officiated?
He did.
I love it.
Wow, that's ironic. Like, he's on the precipice of a divorce and, like, thick and thin and having to hold. He pegs himself to a timeline. It's never mind Garofalo or me. He pegs himself.
Yep.
The actual quote, I understand my decision does impact a lot of other people's decision, and I want to be cognizant of that. He used the phrase free agency as a timeline.
Wow.
So if, I don't think he can. I don't think it can go into the summer and the spring. Mm. Like, he said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it by free agency a week from now.
You take his word that suddenly, if he's still thinking about it, he's going to say, well, I gave my word to Taylor
Bichotti. I think if you go Bichotti, on McAfee or Bichotti or whatever, and you say I'm doing this by then, you got to do it. You're a hypocrite. You're all the terrible things. And he's right. People are waiting on him. I actually do think it's going to go differently this year. And I think we're going to know within the week. With so much mystery, you just got to latch on to any foothold you have. The two footholds that I believe I have, my own intuition, I think retirement is completely out of the question. I still see that sometimes. I still don't think he's retiring, no matter what.
No.
And I think there's no way he's playing for the Green Bay Packers if Davante Adams is not. There's no way. Not only because their relationship, because Adams is good.
Right.
Adams is amazing. Yeah. He's not going out there with those other guys. Due respect to them. So the thing with the tagging looms huge. The question is, if they tag Davante, why wouldn't Rodgers come back to Green Bay?
Right.
Because he claims, you know, we've made all this progress with the front office and we get along now. The salary is going to be huge. The team is going to be good. They'll break dance into the playoffs like they always do. So
you tag Devontae, and that sucks for Devontae. I hate that for him. Terrible. He's not a young receiver, and he's one of the best in the
29,
game.
29.
But it's best for the Packers. Listen, if you're going to bring in Tom Clemens, due respect, like, don't you want to make sure that Devontae Adams is going to be? That's the gesture. If for some reason Devontae Adams is going to walk, and they're Rodgers is gone. They have to bring Devontae. I can't see him playing without him.
But as a player, it's like, hey, man, like, it's my time. With the tags, though, you still can get a long-term deal.
Yeah, right? You can sure. Until June 15th.
So, yeah, so they'll tag him just to hold it. But I know he's thinking in the back of his mind, okay, man, hold up. He's 29 years old. He's probably the best. No, he is the best receiver. But Aaron Rodgers has been making a lot of money for a long time. He's going to make more money. It's like, it's my time to get paid.
I don't know if I see Devontae Adams playing on the tag. Do you? I don't. I really...
So he holds out?
I promise you, I do not... Do you see it?
He deserves a big contract,
He does
though.
Not speak about any... He has talked about this. He has communicated, expressed so adamantly that he wants to get paid what he's worth. I think it's stickier than people think it is. Oh, it's easy. They tag him. It's what's best for the Packers and all is well. I don't think so, and I think the Aaron Rodgers stuff probably mucks it up a little
bit. That's a mess, though.
And if you're Aaron, you want that... unmessy before you decide to come back.
So then when Rodgers has to go to the front office, who he's now best friends with, and be like, also, we need to get Devontae a long-term deal because we can't have him holding out. Like, it's a mess.
Rap Sheet over the weekend said the Washington Commanders made a very strong offer to the Seahawks for the services of this guy, quarterback Russell Wilson. Ian said the offer included multiple first-rounders. Ultimately, the Seahawks said, yeah, no. We heard Pete Carroll say last week the Seahawks had no intentions on trading Russell Wilson. Now, their first big offer for the quarterback has been turned down. So after hearing all of this stuff and stuff fly through the air at the Combine in Indy, are we ready to close the door on trade talks for Russ? Mm-hmm.
There's two parts to this. First part, Washington is openly saying in media, and like Ron Rivera's like, we're looking for a quarterback. And I respect the heck out of it. It's like, we know what our defense, we're right there. We just need a quarterback. So I respect them going for it and swinging for the fences. Russell Wilson is the other part of it. Russell Wilson has a no trade clause. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't like the destination and Washington might not be ideal for him, he can just say, no, thank you. So this makes it very complicated to trade Russ. The last part of it is Pete and John Schneider, the GM, like, they know if you don't have a great quarterback like Russell Wilson, you're constantly searching for one.
And you're Washington.
You're Washington. You're right back. So give me 4 first-round picks for Russell Wilson. That's great. I'll take all the Jordan Davises in the world. Can he throw a football? I don't know. And it's part of the reason why I don't think we're going to see as much movement as far as trades go. And it might just be quarterbacks demanding their way out because they want a new location. But this won't ultimately be decided by the Seahawks. It'll be decided by Russell Wilson, whether he wants to throw a fit and get out of there. And he hasn't at the moment.
I like that. I mean, the no trade clause for a player, especially a quarterback, is amazing, right? He could pick where he wants to go. One thing about Russ is he wants to win. He misses that winning Seahawks in Seattle. They're in the playoffs. It's loud. The 12th man's yelling and screaming. They're running the ball. He's throwing touchdowns, and they're winning. He wants to get back to that. So whatever it takes for Pete Carroll or the front office to get me what I need to win games again, that's what I'll do.
That's what I said,
And if I can't get that, then I have to leave. So I like the position he has with the team. Why would he go to Washington, right? They don't really, a couple players, but they're losing. He wants to go to a winning team and compete.
Not even close to closing the door. Way too many questions. First of all, what is a very strong offer? Multiple first-round picks could be 2.
Right.
And that could just be like, no, get out of here. Yeah. Give us 4, and then we'll talk. Maybe Russell's like, I'm not going to Washington. Washington struggled. Let's just put cards on the table. They've struggled. And maybe Seattle doesn't want to trade him in the conference. There's a million ways to go on this, but it's not even over because even if the offer doesn't come, Russ is mercurial. Russ is eccentric. Yep. Russ can make their life a living hell if they want to. Mm-hmm. If he wants to get traded, he'll get traded. Of course, they don't want to, and he's great. And you know me, guys, I hate draft picks. I think they're nonsense. Mm-hmm. I think they almost always end up failing. You can't get a Russell Wilson. But if you got to get him out of the building and someone's saying, here's 3 first-round picks and a second and a player, maybe you're like, I think this is in the best interest of our team. It's going to be up to him. Not only in the no trade, but how's he conduct himself? Are we doing more weird things where we're silently putting teams out or we're going on Dan Patrick and saying this? Like, are we going to get to that? Way too early, because that might be coming.
I think the door is not 100% closed.
No.
On the finishing. No, this year I think it is. Yeah. I think this year he's a Seattle Seahawk.
Yeah.
I think this is all about next offseason. To your point, it's here's your chance. Wine and dine me. Give me everything I need to succeed and not be stagnant in the NFC West. And the next offseason, I'm gone if that's not the case. Do you like how he's running his operation?
I just feel like we haven't seen the play. plays yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, remember when he was out there before the game running like an offense against ghosts? Like,
oh,
that,
yeah.
The real game's going to start because free agency, tags, like all that stuff's going to dictate. Like, we haven't even started dancing.
He cares about his image,
yet.
Though. It's not going to be like, I want out of here. I'm going to make your life a living hell stuff. That's not Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I don't know.
They better recruit Sierra. That's what they need to do, right?
Yeah, right. Go on.
Go to Sierra, talk to her. Hey, how can we get Russ, right?
Uh-huh.
Then try to make a trade like that. You never know.
Seahawks.
That's what I would do.
Do not trade that man. It's a good morning in the world of football. It is March 7th. My name is Kay Adams. Peter Schrager is here. Two-time Super Bowl champion, LeSean McCoy.
Make me feel good. Make me feel
in
good
in the
now.
Building. You're like, we're almost done. We have a whole other hour. Kyle Brandt also back from vacation.
Thrilled to be back. Great to see you. After the fastest combine in history, 31 prospects ran sub-4.4. Wow. That's a record.
A lot went down in Indy. Is there a team that you guys learned a ton about that you feel like you walked away from all those headlines and sound bites feeling a little different, Kyle?
Yeah, let's go right there, Miami.
Yeah?
I was in Miami a week ago, and you know how much juice and how much signage and how much gear you see of the Miami Dolphins when you show up in the airport? Not much. I think it's coming. This Mike McDaniel thing is really fun and fascinating already. And I have to say, about 2 or 3 months ago, it started heating up as the season was coming down the stretch, and it was one of these guys that Twitter just fell in love with,
mm-hmm.
which can be a little bit of an eye roller. We get it. He's different. He's eccentric. Let's see. And then he really lives up to it. I mean, this, it's so incredible. We're going to play a little clip of it, that this guy is an NFL head coach, and he comes in from such a different perspective. Like, Mike McDaniel is in the same line of work as Joe Judge. Like, that is so odd, and there's such a different way of doing it. So I got to watch back the interview that Peter did with it, and I don't want to be dismissive by saying quirky, but it's so fun because it's so different, and just the taste of it. Peter sat down with the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and how do you not just love the energy?
I bet my mom and wife are so pumped. Wendy Williams doesn't get recorded because of Good Morning Football.
Off the DVR.
Yeah, so.
Sorry, Wendy. We could talk about this for an hour, but Mike McDaniel, we are wrapping now because we've got our next segment to do, but I want to appreciate the fact that you woke up at the...
What's the segment? I mean, how important is said segment?
Said segment is our report cards on a division from last year. Does that sound important to you?
That's fair.
That's it. Okay, that is good.
I mean, you guys, I guess you guys have prepared yourselves as well, so.
That's it.
I'm sorry, I got one of the most interesting head coaches in years, but I got to get to the Lions arithmetic grade.
In my ear, the line freezer, rap!
I know.
Oh, I don't know if Mike McDaniel's going to start winning division titles yet, but I know he's going to come at it differently. I know he's going to have a plan. And even aside from all the workouts on the field, a head coach for me was the biggest headline. Peter, you sat with him. What's the vibe?
Let's rip down the fourth wall here. I've known Mike for a while, so I'm like, all right, I know he can go on those tangents and all those things. Like, my goal was, I don't want to make him into a joke because he can easily go way down that way.
I know what you mean,
and
yeah.
Keep it to the football. Like, he's fun, but you don't want to be funny.
Right.
You don't want to be the funny coach. You want to be the fun coach.
Yeah.
And I think he's got that, and he's walking that line. This guy is brilliant up here, but he, like, with the camera on, would talk to me like we would talk to each other. And a lot of these coaches clam
hard
up.
To do.
And the question is, does he rein it in, or does he stay with that spirit? Because we've seen coaches who come out of the gates, and they're like, I'm going to be different. And then after 142-0 loss to the Bills, you're not that same guy. So the question is, can he stay that same way despite some ups and downs?
Or good and bad.
That's the last point, is that if you've been following the AFCs pretty closely, the Dolphins just get destroyed by Buffalo every year. Josh Allen does whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. That first Dolphins-Bills game, it's not going to be about Wendy Williams jokes and how cool and eccentric and quirky you are. It's all ball, so we'll see.
I'm going to go with the Jags, right?
Okay.
It's all phases, right? It's all parts. It goes A, B, C, D. Right? That's how it works. And I look what they did in offseason when they got Doug Peterson. I'm a big fan of Doug Peterson. I think he's an excellent coach.
Yeah.
All he did was win. All he did was win. He won with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Then he won with Philly. He even won with Philly back in the day when I was a youngster. So I like what he's doing there. He's bringing that type of attitude to that franchise. They have their franchise quarterback. With him, they can do some different things. He's a quarterback coach. He's played a position as a quarterback. And then I like what they talked about, what they look for in the draft. You know, they might can go out there and get Sauce because Sauce can play, right? I'm not saying he's Deion Sanders, but I love what he's bringing, that 6'3", running 4.41. And then they talked about getting offensive tackles. And so it's a tackle deep draft. So have a lot of them, but they really circled Charles Cross. He went to Mississippi State, big kid, can run, can move. He's very powerful. And I think you need a guy like that to cover Trevor Lawrence.
You're going to have the first pick. So Evan Neal, Ikem Ekwonu, those guys could be there for them. A lot of turmoil in Jacksonville with that Urban Meyer stuff. And You feel good that this team could just bounce back and
you're... Right. You know why? Because the only thing that could resolve that and get past that is winning. Bringing that winning football down into Duval County, getting them fans back excited again. Because don't forget, a couple years ago when they had Leonard Fournette, yeah, right? And
Jalen.
Come on.
2017. Like,
they were rolling, though. They were beating teams. They beat Pittsburgh. Exactly. Pittsburgh had Le'Veon Bell and AB. Yeah. So don't forget that down there in Jacksonville, they could turn up real fast, man. Yeah. Get the fans behind you and getting rolling again. I look forward to seeing Doug Peterson turn that franchise around.
Do not waste
time. Let's go, Doug.
One team I was really interested in, I said it last week before the combine, like, I don't know what we're getting from this team moving forward based on how things ended the last couple of years. What I learned at the combine is that the Vikings are in very good hands with their new leadership. And by that, I mean Kevin O'Connell, yes. But I took some time on combine weekend to get to know their new general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and I was blown away by this guy.
Is that right?
Blown away by this guy, and I think the Vikings are in very good hands. If you don't know Kwesi's story, he went to Princeton, like you, Kyle. He went to Wall Street, where he was an equities trader for Merrill Lynch for a few years, then decided, you know what? I love football. I want to get into football. Took a low-paying job with the 49ers for 6 years, ranked up their ladder, left for Cleveland, worked with Andrew Berry, and then interviewed for the Vikings job. I don't think he was the favorite, but we went ahead, and he won that job based on what he presented. This is a guy who does not live and breathe football X's and O's. Instead, he comes from an outside perspective. I thought some of his stuff at the podium was the most impressive thing said. Yes, Kirk Cousins' contract is looming. Here is what Kwesi had to say when they asked him about free agency and roster building.
You know, it's funny. I have an economics background, and I know I say the word economics, and everybody probably cringes because nobody liked economics when they learned it. But you talk about economics, it's optimizing utility, right? It's a very simple equation, and there's constraints that you have, and you solve for those constraints. The NFL puzzle is different because you don't know what that equation looks like. You don't know exactly what those constraints look like. So there is a little bit of art, there's a little bit of science, and that's what makes the puzzle fun. Honestly, that's what drew me to the sport, and it's why I think all of us love competing at the highest level.
Now, this guy blew me away, too. We sat and talked for 30 minutes, not much about Kirk Cousins, more so about his philosophy, his upbringing, what he brings to this. And I give the Vikings credit. Yes, Kwesi's been in the league for nearly a decade, but it's also not your typical. This guy was a scout who lived in a car for 13 years on the road, finding the Southeast. Wow. No, this is someone who looks at it from a different angle, and he's building a really good staff. And O'Connell and him, who did not know each other very well. They overlapped 1 year in San Francisco. They're getting along just great. I think this is a totally different vibe. Now, Spielman did great things in Minnesota, and Zim had his years, but like by the end of that thing, it was time for a reboot and a recharge. You could not find a more optimistic duo, fresh face. They're walking into a new facility in Eagan, and it's like, I want to be here. I love this. Like, this was the recharge and the reset that this franchise needed. They haven't played a game yet together. We'll see how it goes. But from right now in March, gosh, A-plus around the board about these two hires.
I'm excited about them. And we don't know what's going on with Green Bay. It's hopefully a really exciting, invigorating time to be a Vikings fan. Do you guys know, everybody goes through this. Like, you have that couple in your life, and they're a great, perfect couple, and they've achieved such great things together. Like, the wedding was insane. There's photos from Bali. Everybody's the couple everyone looks up to, and then they split, and they go their separate ways. And you ask one of them, like, your buddy, like, how's it going, man? Like, are you feeling okay? And you expect him to say, you know, she's great. I'm great. Things are good. And that was Peter Schrager at the combine asking Jason Light about his ex. The Buccaneers are not over their ex. Take a look.
We'll see what the future holds. Let's just say we'll leave the light on.
Is there hope? Honestly, is the light on? Is there hope?
We always leave the light on for a guy like Tom Brady.
That's it. We'll leave the light on.
They're not over their ex.
K's right.
They're not over in like a stunning sort of way.
Please
And then you have, of course, things get destructive. It's not I wish her the best, I whatever. Then you have Bruce Arians putting this into the world. Take a look at this.
What if in August, if that light is still on, he decides that he wants to come back and you went and found someone else?
That other guy's number two.
No matter what you paid for.
Nope. No, Tom Brady's coming back. He's back.
So there is a sentiment, however, that that's how, if Brady wants to play, he would play the scenario. Not to make you guys look bad,
no,
but say, let you guys move on, and then when I do want to come back, you guys are stuck.
No, that ain't happening. That's not Tom Brady.
You don't think he would do that?
No, not in a heartbeat.
What if he asked for a trade?
Nope.
Not going to trade him?
Nope. Bad business.
Bad business.
I'm not trading the best quarterback ever.
I love
the whole no trade thing is so fascinating to me. I talked about it a bit last week, Shriggs. It's how do you not trade them? You had such a great relationship. You're not going to let them move out of the house. You're not going to, you know, wish them the best. And like there's no world where Bruce Arians doesn't trade him if it comes to that. And it's just wild to me that they really seem to just not be over Tom. So how can you move on as an organization when this amazing thing came, swept you off your feet, got you a Super Bowl ring, and then left? Yeah, it's just fascinating how honest they both are.
I love it.
It's kind of sad.
I love it.
It is, but it's they're all in on this hope and a glimmer of a dream that maybe she walks back in the door.
I just don't think she is.
Give me one more chance.
We have to be the friend. Well, you are a Buccaneer.
Well, he changed that whole culture. I mean, so everything he's saying, I agree. He's being honest, and I agree with him. Hey, you got Tom Brady in the door, man. You at least got a 50% chance to win.
Do you think he would return?
For Tom Brady, anything's possible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anything's possible. Mm-hmm. I think he might come back.
Back on Good Morning Football, wonderful to have LeSean McCoy, a two-time Super Bowl champ, with us here at the breakfast table. Mm-hmm. Let's go back in time. What year was the combine? 2009, I believe? Yeah. Tell us your experience.
Years ago. I had a great time. A funny story is I got sick, right? I got sick.
That sounds like a great time.
So I was traveling from California. I was training in California. Then I went to Pennsylvania to see my family. Then I go to Indy, and I got sick. I lost about 10 pounds. I couldn't eat.
Wow.
I couldn't drink. So I didn't do any training. I mean, I didn't do any of the performing, like any of
it. You trained all that time in California, and then you didn't get to do anything?
I didn't do nothing. What I did do is I met with the teams. My agent said, hey, you got to meet with the teams. Mm-hmm. I told you earlier about how the Andy Reid had the lights and the candles and the
dim. What does that mean? Like actual candles? Like different actual lit candles?
Dim lights, candles.
Scented?
Right. And he was talking. That was like a good time. And then I had a meeting with the Patriots. Belichick was in there. That was more serious. He didn't say much.
Did he have you hooked up to a lie detector test?
He was just staring at me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
At 20 years old, I'm so nervous. I got to see Belichick there. I'm like, I don't know the plays. I just forgot. Brain fart. You know, I'm like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. LeSean did not end up on the Patriots.
Right. Yeah. And then I think the last one was the Browns. And I was in there like crossed my fingers, like, I hope they don't take me. You know, but you're trying to be professional. But all the players out there, man, if you get a chance to go to the combine, you should go. It's a great time, man. Mm-hmm. It really is.
They took how many? Three running backs in front of you? Three?
Three of them.
NoSean.
Beanie Wells.
Beanie Wells.
And Beanie Wells.
And Donald Brown. Yeah. The GM for the Colts. Yeah. I see him lay down the line. Him and my man. I'm like, why would you guys take this guy over me?
What'd you say?
I mean, it told us, oh, we thought this, thought that.
Yeah.
Two Super Bowl rings, though. LeSean McCoy back tomorrow. This is Good Morning Football. Have a great day, everybody.
See ya.